To Hypnotherapy Presents, Understanding the Five Love Languages, Lesson Number 4. The Five Love Languages is based on a book written by Gary Chapman. He was a number one bestseller for weeks on the bestseller list. This book I recommend to all of my clients to read, to understand. It is so important while on our personal journey to understand how we show our love and how we feel our love being given to us, how we feel the love language, how our love tank gets filled. Let's look at what the five love languages are. The five love languages are words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. And while you're listening to this workshop, try to figure out which one is your love language. A lot of people, if they've read the book and they've taken the test, they go, oh, I have all five love languages. It is highly unlikely that you will always have one main love language, one where your love tank is filled immediately and it stays filled. So just sit there during this workshop and focus on what do you think your love language is. And on the downloadable PDF, there will be a love language test, and all of these love languages and explanations are in a PDF downloadable version. I hope you enjoy this workshop on the five love languages. I think it's imperative when on our personal journey that we learn and read and understand what the love languages are. Why are the love languages so important? The five love languages are important to understand because they explain why we feel what we do. They explain if we feel unworthy in a relationship or in our family or with our children, unappreciated, misunderstood. They help us understand why we feel alone, unloved, detached, unhappy. So when our love language is not being met, a lot of these things can happen. You know, I've counseled people that have been married for 30 years, and out of the 30 years, they maybe haven't felt appreciated or loved or appreciated in 20 of the 30 years, or sometimes 30 of the 30 years. They got married because they were expected to, because they had children, because they were expecting children and they had to get married. And then we have guilt and shame associated with that. And our love language isn't given to us from our partner or from our children. Then we feel depleted. We feel unloved and unappreciated. And it's very, very difficult for us to open up and expand. You know, we can give our love and give our love, and then when we don't receive it back, or when our love language is held hostage, if maybe our partner knows what our love language is, but to punish us or to hold us hostage or to teach us a lesson or keep us in line, they hold our love language hostage. You know, in this state, I highly doubt that most people are even aware of what their love language is, let alone of what their partner's love language is. That's why I feel it is so important, the five love languages. I insist that every one of my clients, before we start our sessions or during our sessions, they read and understand the love languages. It's imperative for feeling whole and gratified and finding happiness and joy and love in your life. Happens when we don't get our love language. We all know what it's like to have an empty love tank. But why do we feel like we have an empty love tank? An empty love tank means that maybe our partner mows the lawn and fixes the cars and cleans the garage, or they do the laundry and make dinner every night, or make the beds and take care of the children. But your love tank is still empty. They might do all of these things for you, but you still feel unappreciated. You don't feel loved. You don't even know what the meaning of unconditional love means because you don't feel any of it. You work so hard to do things and to show your appreciation in so many different ways. But if you're not saying it in your partner's love language, they're not receiving the message. Can we expect others to know what our love language is? No. Even though we've been married for 30 years, if you have no understanding that there even is a love language, then how can you expect anyone else to know what your love language is? And if you haven't looked within and you haven't done the work within yourself and figured out what your love language is and why it's there, then how can you expect anyone else to know what it is? What does it feel like when you have an empty love tank? A good example of what it feels like when you have an empty love tank is when you do everything for your partner. You do everything. And at the end of the day, or at the end of the week, or the end of the month, or the end of the year, you sit there and you're empty. You have no energy. You have nothing left to give. You wonder why you're in that situation. You wonder why you're so unhappy. You wonder why you cringe when they walk in the door. You wonder why all you think about is escaping. You know, some people have children to fill their love tank. Some people find different jobs or careers. Some people just bounce from job to job to job to try to fill the love tank. That will not fill the love tank. And if you don't know what your own love language is and you don't give yourself the unconditional love and fill your own love tank, you can also feel empty that way. Somebody could do a million things for you and give you gifts and quality time and acts of service and words of affirmation. But if you don't believe anything that's being done for you, or you don't believe the words of affirmation because you have a very difficult time in your own self-talk. Every time someone says, I think you're so wonderful, I think you're so smart, and your self-talk goes, oh my God, they don't mean that. What do they want? What are they saying that for? What are they going to need from me? What do I have to do for them next? That will deplete and erase the entire love language that your partner or your children is trying to give to you. If you cannot open yourself up to receive a love language, then you're not going to feel it and your tank is not going to get filled. What happens when our love tank springs a leak? So a good example of this is maybe your partner or your children or your parents or your peers, they fill your love tank. They tell you your love language is words of affirmation. They tell you how wonderful you are, how good looking you are, how smart you are. And then somebody comes along and then maybe it's your spouse. Maybe your spouse goes, oh, you're beautiful. You're smart. I appreciate you. But then on the next time they go, why are you so stupid? Why do you do things like that? Why weren't you thinking? That immediately puts a large bullet hole in your love tank and depletes it immediately. So when you're dealing with someone, when your partner's love language is words of affirmation, it means a lot more when you tell them how you feel and how you appreciate it and how much you love them and how good they are and how smart they are and how good looking they are. But the moment you go and criticize them or deplete them or tell them what they've done wrong or criticize them or say how disappointed you are, you empty the love tank immediately. So just keep that in mind. There's a lot of different ways to communicate when you're dissatisfied or when you're needing things to be done without using words of affirmation against them in a negative context. Our love tanks empty, or they stay empty when we don't get what we need out of the love language. Relationships where both couples have empty love tanks, you have to wonder, how do they survive? Most of them will survive. They will survive, but they won't be satisfied. They won't feel full. They won't feel fulfilled in their relationship. Maybe they look outside of the relationship to find fulfillment, to find someone else to fill their love tank. If you have children, maybe that partner or maybe both of you, if neither one of your love languages are being met, then your children, you've taught your children how to give you your love language. You've taught them through their childhood upbringing and showing them your love language to them, which can make that their love language. And then in response, they give you your love language back. So a lot of relationships that don't get their love tank filled by their spouse, maybe they've taught their children to fill their love language. But then what happens when your children grow older, when they get into teens, when they go off to college, when you become empty nesters? Then you've got two couples sitting there. They don't know how to communicate. They don't know how to fill each other's love tanks. And they sit there and they're wondering, why am I in this? Am I in this forever? They become dreading. They become depressed. They become unsatisfied with their relationship. They find a very difficult time to become content. You know, being happy and existing in a relationship is not having a full love tank. It is just existing. Understanding our love language. If we understand our love language, we will then understand how we can show our love and how to receive love. If we understand our love language and we understand our partner's love language, maybe we don't have to do so much of the house cleaning and the laundry making and the dinner making and cleaning up, because if that's not our partner's love language and we're doing all of that to show our partner that we love them, but it doesn't fill their love tank, then you could probably put your energies into something once you understand what their love language is, where they will truly, truly appreciate it and have their love tank filled. So if you do things for your spouse because you want to show them how much you love them, make sure you're speaking their love language. A lot of people will say to me, well, you know, my husband does everything for me, or my wife does everything for me, but I still have an empty love tank. Because that partner doesn't understand their love language and isn't filling their love tank. You can clean the house until your hands are raw and do the laundry. Your house could be immaculate. But if your husband or your spouse's love language or your wife's love language is words of affirmation, and you do everything with acts of service, but you never tell them how much you love them and appreciate them and everything they do for you and tell them with your words of affirmation, then really you might as well not clean the house. And it's much easier to fill their love tank by expressing with words of affirmation. Then they will actually feel your love. And it goes with gifts. If your love language is gifts, and you give gifts to your spouse, but your spouse somehow has a resistance to gift, maybe that gift triggers, I can't be bought, you can't buy me, I don't like gifts, what a waste of money, then actually you're depleting your partner's love tank by giving them gifts. So if your love language is gifts, and you're like, well, I love gifts, it fills my love tank, I of course that will be my partner's. And if it isn't, and all you do is give them gifts and you ignore what their love language is, their love tank will stay empty. And then all of your efforts are for nothing. So understanding your partner's love language is a beautiful way to be able to fill their love tank and show them and express to them how much you love them. And they truly will feel loved if you can fill their love tank. Our love language is crucial in our personal development. Understanding, knowing, and expressing your own love language is imperative in your personal development. It's part of your looking inward journey. It's part of going, like if I have a client and I go, well, what's your love language? And they go, I don't know. Well, you have to start there. You have to start figuring out what your love language is. What makes you the most happy? Our love language is a glimpse into our relationships with our peers, our family, our parents, our grandparents, our cousins, any of our relatives, our spouse, and our children. So I'm going to tell you a little story. So my love language is quality of time. I have a wonderful son. He does everything for me, everything I ever ask. But during his teenage years and his early 20s, there wasn't a lot of time. When he'd come home from university or from school, you know, it was all about his friends and his grandparents, making sure everybody gets his time. So he would fly into my house, I'd get to do his laundry and feed him, and then he'd fly out, he'd be gone all day, come home at night for dinner, if even that, and then off he'd go again the next day. So he never spent any time with me. And he just assumed that he loved me. He just said, well, I come home to see you and I'm with you and I stay here. And of course I love you. You're my mother. So what he was missing was that my love language was quality of time. So when you fly in and I get to do all these acts of service for you and you don't find it imperative to spend any time with me, but you find it's way more important to spend time with everyone else, my love tank empties when he's around. So when I explained the love languages to him, I begged him to read the book. He said he wouldn't read the book because, you know, he was 19. So we got in a little bit of a fight, and I sent him a long, in-depth letter telling how sad it made me feel when he'd fly into my life and fly out. It wasn't a negative letter. It was just a very direct letter about how it made me feel. And expressing my feelings over the letter to my son. You know, a lot of 19-year-olds don't want to get a letter from their parents. Mine was just, my love tank was so empty when he came around. I would be agitated and irritated. I had expectations and he wasn't meeting them. I assumed he knew what my love language was and he wasn't meeting it. So anyway, in the course of a few months after I wrote the letter, my son planned a beautiful holiday just for my son and I. He let my husband know, you can't come. This is just our trip. He organized the entire trip. He told us where we were going to go. He was living in Colorado at the time. I lived in Montana. And we went on a motorbike trip, and we met in Sturgis together. And we met there. We went motorbiking. We had breakfast, lunch, and dinner together. We talked. We expressed our feelings. I mean, that was 6 years ago. It was the most amazing time I've ever had with anyone in my life. And it totally brought out an absolute expansive love that I knew that my son felt with me. And after 10 days of motorbiking around, you know, Deadwoods and Pigtail, and if you're a motorbiker, you'll know what all that is. And at the end of it, you know, he's turned around and he looked at me and came up, gave me a hug, and he goes, "Is your love tank full?" And I will tell you, to this day, my love tank is still full because he took the time to learn about my love language, what it meant, and what it meant to be. And 10 days out of his life, he spent with his mom. He had a pretty good time. We were motorbiking and we were in Sturgis. But he then understood the importance of what it is to fill a love tank. 6 years later, my love tank's still completely full over that trip. So when you're evaluating how do I show my spouse or my loved one or my partner or my children how I love them, make sure you connect directly with their love tank. You don't have to go on a motorbike trip, but maybe it's for a walk. Maybe it's just going to the park and connecting and communicating and being 100% present. Maybe it's going out for breakfast with your spouse every Friday without your phone, without talking about your job or your guys' business or talking about your kids. Maybe it's connecting on a conscious level of feelings and aspirations. Maybe you plan a trip that you're going to take. Maybe you talk about your goals and your dreams of where you want to go. Maybe you talk about your feelings for your spouse. This is quality time, and this will fill your spouse's love tank if their love language is quality of time. Now let's look into the love languages a little bit more in depth, and then we can also see the symbols. And again, you can have all of these love languages on the downloadable PDF given with this workshop. Of the words of affirmation. This is when we need people to tell us their words. We need to hear that we are appreciated, loved, understood, accepted, cherished. We need to hear how they feel about us. We need them to express in words of encouragement. We need to know and hear that they notice us. By them just assuming that we know is not words of affirmation. Yeah, I tell them I love them. That isn't words of affirmation. With a lot of people, depending how they were raised, telling someone that you love them may not mean anything to them. They may not believe you. They may have resistance on the belief that you love them. But if you say it in so many different ways, your words of appreciation and encouragement, they will hear you eventually. If their self-talk is telling them, no, you don't, no, you don't, no, you don't, their love language probably isn't words of affirmation. So just keep that in mind. So try something else. We need to hear the words and feel the words to our soul. The words are actually what fill our love tank when our love language is words of affirmation. Let's look at some do's and don'ts of words of affirmation. Do's and don'ts of what to do and what not to do. So make sure the don'ts are even more important than the do's on many times, as I explain. If your partner's love language is words of affirmation and you tell them all these wonderful words, but then in the next word you get mad at them and then you talk about how disappointed you are, how stupid they are, you know, all of the negative things in words, you've just emptied their love tank. You've filled the whole day. The whole day you spent filling it with words of affirmation. A few words, you can totally deplete the tank. So keep that in mind. It's imperative to understand that words of affirmation is positive words of affirmation. So the do's, you listen actively. You send unexpected notes of appreciation. You maybe give cards or thank you cards. You tell them with your words. You encourage them genuinely and verbally. You express to them how much you love them, respect them, and appreciate them. You point out different things that they do for you with your words and how much you appreciate them. If if they do the laundry and clean the house, those are acts of service, but you can express in words how well they clean the house, how much you love them doing your laundry, how much you appreciate them working on your card, how you just love when they mow the lawn and your yard looks so beautiful, that you give them all the credit for the beauty of the lawn and when they come home, how much you love it. You have to notice the efforts verbally, compliment their appearance, the efforts they make to keep their appearance up, the efforts they make to look like they do, to act like they do, to their cleanliness, to their style, to their dedication. You have to use your words to express. You can't just assume they know it. They will not. That will not, assuming will not fill their love tank. Some of the don'ts with words of affirmation are, non-constructive criticism, disappointment. That will put a bullet hole right into the love tank. Name calling, point out imperfections in them, never expressing your appreciation for things that they do for you. Let's say that your love language is acts of service and they do a million things that fill your love tank all the time. You have to be present and acknowledge that maybe that is them showing you how much they love you. But if their love language, and then you could go ahead and do all these things, well, they do this for me and I do that for them. But if their love language is an acts of service, don't bother. Focus on what your partner's love language is. Look at the love language quality, the do's and don'ts of quality of time. The do's: create special moments while you're together. Be present when spending time together. Don't be on your phone. Don't be on your computer. Just because you're both at home watching TV together on a regular basis, this is not considered quality of time. Weekend getaways together. You know, maybe you go for a walk or you go biking, you do different activities where you're completely and totally present with your spouse. Small gestures are very, very important when spending quality of time together. Some of the don'ts: don't be distracted when you're there spending time together. Long stints between spending time together, like if you let a year go by or you let 5 years go by before you have a weekend away, it's unacceptable. It will deplete and empty their tank. If you're not making plans and you're not acting excited about it, you know, if your spouse loves to horseback ride and it's just an effort and you drag your feet and you don't want to go and, oh my God, that's a lot of work, and oh, let me go get the horse trailer ready. Whatever it is, if you dread doing the event, that will deplete the love tank. You know, so find things, hopefully, that you both enjoy doing, that you both enjoy spending time together. If it's just going for a drive into the mountains or into the woods or into the city or whatever it is, just make sure you're present when you're doing it. If your love language isn't quality of time, then you might have to fake it till you make it so that you're able to fill your spouse's love tank or your children's love tank. Another don't is, if you're unable to see the reason why time together is so important, that is a bad don't. That will deplete the love tank immediately. If you act like you are being forced to do it, then this again is a big don't. It will deplete the entire purpose, so don't bother. Press restart and try something else. Receiving gifts. This is when you're given gifts as an appreciation. Gifts that you appreciate or things given to you that you mentioned you would love. These kind of gifts fill the love tank. You know, if your spouse loves gifts and loves little gestures, you know, that you were thinking about them. You know, just a card saying how much you appreciate them and how much you love them go a very, very long way when your spouse's love language is giving gifts. Make sure the gifts is something that you know that they will appreciate. You know that it's something that they're interested in. You know, you don't go get your wife a set of tools because you need a new set of tools. That's not going to fill the love tank. Sorry, guys, but it's just not going to do it. Unless your wife actually likes tools and really appreciates tools. You know, my husband, he gives me tools that are for me and for my projects. And my love tank, my love language isn't even receiving gifts, but they're appreciated because time was taken to think about what maybe I might need or what maybe I might want. So you have to sit and think, does your spouse like jewelry? Do they like watches? Do they like tools, if you're buying something for your spouse? Just make it gestures that you know that they'll appreciate it, that they'll know that you actually put thought into thinking about them when you bought the gifts. You know, a lot of people will buy their spouse flowers on a regular basis, but the flowers won't be appreciated. They'll think it's a waste of money if their love language isn't receiving gifts. So make sure that if you're buying flowers for your spouse on a regular basis and then you wonder why they don't appreciate or why they don't like it, probably because their love language isn't receiving gifts. Maybe they think it's a waste of money. Maybe they don't really like flowers. Maybe they don't like the smell of flowers. So make sure that you're not giving your love language to your spouse when you're doing the love language of gifts. Gifts are considered a way of telling your spouse, I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking about what you like, what you need. And giving gifts, the appropriate gifts to your spouse or to your children, will totally fill their love tank. The do's and the don'ts of receiving gifts. Let's look at the do's. Give gifts with a personal thought, with them in mind. Not someone else in mind, not something that you guys need, not the household needs a blender, so you're going to buy a blender, unless it's something that your wife, you know, you could give your wife a blender and go, now you can make your smoothies at home. You know, I know you wanted to start eating more healthy, so I thought I'd buy you this gift. Then a blender's appropriate. You know, a vacuum. You know, you just have to double think, is this for the household? Is this so they can do more acts of service for you? That is not appropriate gift giving. So small gesture gifts, it doesn't have to be expensive. You can express your gratitude with gifts for everything that they do, everything that they are to you. Gifts can shower your spouse with love so easily and fill their love tank if you do it properly and you do it on a regular basis. Or memorabilia from the past together. Maybe you take a picture that you guys took on a holiday or a time that you guys were on a walk together or something that you were doing together, and maybe you put that picture in a frame and give it to them. So it might cost you all $10, but it will go a very long way, and it will fill your spouse that you're trying to fill their love tank. It will fill their love tank because they know that you were thinking about them and took them into consideration. What are some don'ts? Don't forget special occasions. If your spouse's love language is gifts and you don't give them an anniversary gift or a birthday gift or a Mother's Day gift or a Father's Day gift, then be aware this could deplete their love tank. This could put a hole in their love tank if you completely dismiss the day as being ridiculous and not important and, oh, I couldn't think of anything to give you. These are all things for the love language of gift receiving. Bad idea. So you have to put into consideration. You do not have to break the bank. They just have to be thoughtful gestures. If you're enthusiastic about giving the gift, if you're like here and you throw it on the table, happy birthday, not going to fill the love tank. It's actually going to put a hole in it because now they're thinking that you're doing it because you expect it, and then maybe they start feeling guilt and shame that maybe they feel like they expect too much. So make sure that you are enthusiastic about giving the gift. You're happy to give it. You were thinking about them, so you got it for them. You know, just think about your spouse's love tank. Think about their love language. Think about that you want them to know that you love them and appreciate them. And same with your children. If your children's love language is gifts, then it doesn't have to be big gifts. If you have children and their love language is gifts and they're kind of feeling down or different things are going on and you want to just give them regular mementos, little cards, little gifts, little trinkets, little toys, this will fill your kids' love tank. Same with at work. If you have a boss that maybe you're having a difficult time getting along with, you can, and you know their love language is gifts, or maybe you can kind of figure it out, then maybe you could just give a card and say how much you appreciate them. Or if you know that they like hockey games, or you could get them hockey tickets or whatever, not buying the gestures of your boss or your coworkers. But if you know somebody's feeling down and they really need a pick-me-up, or their love tank's feeling empty at work, maybe you could just do a gesture and give them something nice that maybe it doesn't mean anything to you, but it might mean the world to someone whose love language is gifts. Acts of service for the love language. This is when your spouse works on the car, changes the oil, or makes sure that your car runs properly, or keeps it serviced on a regular basis. Maybe your spouse will take care of the lawn, or the gardening, or the house repair. Maybe your children want to show their love to you and acts of service. They take out the garbage, they vacuum, they clean the house for you. Maybe they do laundry or make dinner once in a while. This is an act of service. Maybe something that you don't normally do or something that you do on a regular basis. So a simple act like vacuuming the house when you don't normally do it or when your spouse thinks, well, that's my job. If you just walk in, you don't make a big deal of it. Or if you get home earlier than they do from work and you vacuum the house and just say, I just wanted to help you out, lighten your load a little bit. I just threw some laundry in. I thought I'd make dinner for us tonight. These are all acts of service to show your appreciation and your love for your spouse. When your kids do it for you, they're showing you, they're trying to fill your love tank, showing you that they appreciate you and they're trying to help you. If your kids' love language is acts of service and you take them to hockey and you take them to soccer and you take them shopping and you do things, they'll appreciate it more than another child whose love language maybe isn't acts of service. You don't have to point it out, well, I do all these things for you. if you're not being appreciated for all the things that you do, it probably isn't the love language of the person you're doing it for. So make sure that if you're doing all of these acts of service, you're doing them because you want to. But if you're doing it because you want to show and express that you love them and you do all of these things for them because I love you, make sure that their love language is acts of service, or it will basically go on deaf ears. It won't fill the love tank for them. So I have a lot of couples that come in for couple relationships, and this is a big one. I do all of these things. I do all these things for them. I do everything for them, and they don't appreciate anything. And then the other spouse goes, well, I don't care about any of that stuff. They don't spend any time with me. They don't give me any gifts. Whatever their love language is what will actually fill their tank. And make sure when you do the acts of service, you don't hold it over them and go, I did this for you, now appreciate it. You can't do that. It has to be out of a loving place. It has to be from your heart. You have to be doing it to help them, to fill their love tank, to show your appreciation. That's what acts of service is. If your love language is acts of service and theirs isn't, be very careful that you're not doing all these things for your spouse, because it won't fill their love tank. You're better off to go for a 20-minute walk, or you're better off to go buy some flowers for them. That will show them that you love them and appreciate them, and that will fill their love tank. The do's and don'ts for acts of service. Some of the do's: do chores together as partners. You know, help each other out. He's in the garage, you're in the garage helping him. Maybe you sweep the garage. Don't touch his tools, probably. But if you're in the house and your spouse is cleaning the house, maybe you get out the vacuum and you just vacuum. Or maybe you make dinner so that they don't have to. These are all active acts of service. You know, ask for help, you know, or ask if you're going to go out and mow the lawn. Do you want to trim? Do you want to come with me? You know, then that can be quality of time and doing acts of service. You know, there's a lot of different things. Or if something needs to be done around the house and you just don't ever seem to have the time, and you're, you know, maybe you could just say, well, this weekend we're going to put aside and we're going to stain the deck. I know you wanted to have the deck stained. Let's just get it done. And then actually follow through and keep your word. Keep your word that you're going to do it, and do it. When you know that they want it done, don't let them nag you and nag you and nag you about it. That depletes the love tank. When a spouse or anybody has to constantly ask you, and their love language is acts of service, and you just continually don't do it, and it's not that important, and I'll get around to it, that will empty the love tank. Way more so than if your spouse is quality time and you don't fix the deck. They really don't care about the deck. They really would rather you spend time with them than fixing the deck. These love languages are imperative to decipher so that you can understand that what you are doing is showing your appreciation and filling your spouse's love tank. Don't show up 30 years later and go, I don't know, I'm empty. And then hear your spouse say, I'm empty too. You know, that's because you haven't been meeting each other's, each other's love languages. So do chores unexpectedly for the other one. Some of the don'ts: make others' request for your service a priority. So if your spouse wants you to be working on the deck and your mother calls and, you know, go, well, she needs my help more than I need to get this deck done, and then you leave the deck and you go someone else. Or if your wife's car's not working and you know you can fix it pretty easily, but your buddy wants to go golfing, you choose to go golfing instead of getting her car fixed when you said you would get it fixed. Or maybe she needs it for work. Or, you know, you have to consider that you have to make their requests, if they're asking for your acts of service, a priority, showing that you care. The minute you don't show it a priority and you just don't do it and don't do it and don't do it, it depletes their love tank. A lack of following through with big or small jobs, big depletion, put a big old bullet hole in that love tank, because you have to follow through. If you say you're going to do something, they look forward to it. They're looking forward to filling their love tank. So you have to understand, when you don't do it, or you just dismiss it, or you find something better to do, you're emptying their love tank. If they ask for your help to do something, it could be something simple, helping them use the phone, helping them getting their phone to work, helping them get their emails and they can't figure it out, and you blow them off like they're an idiot, you've just put a massive bullet in their love tank. Act as if you don't like helping. Act as if they're annoying you when they ask you to help them or do something for them. Big bullet in the love tank. or consider certain jobs their responsibility and not yours. That's your job. Vacuuming's your job. You know, that is big love tank depleter. So just think next time before you say something like that, think about what that's going to do to your spouse. Think about how that's going to deplete them. And if you go ahead and do things and you know it's going to deplete their love tank, you're holding their love language hostage. So be conscious of it. Pay attention, because you may not think it's a very big deal, but if their love language is acts of service and you just keep blowing them off or acting like they're irritating you, it will empty their love tank. They'll feel unappreciated, unworthy. So make very, very sure that what you're doing, you're prepared for the consequences. Physical touch. This is when you need to be touched and caressed and paid attention to on a physical basis. It doesn't mean always sexual. It just, like with your children, it means rubbing their back when they go to bed or when they're watching TV. If you just rub their back or play with their hair or rub their feet, that's you showing your children affection and showing that you love them. So many children's love language is physical touch, because when they're little, the parents are trying to hug them and show them that they love them and show them affection. Well, when we're older and our love language is physical touch, we need to be touched. We need to be around people. We need people to grab our hands and hold them and look us in the eyes and know that we're paying attention to them. Physical touch is not so much sexual. It can be sexual. The need for sex could be there, but it's actually the need for the physical touch to be there. It's imperative for people with their love language of physical touch. If nobody ever touches them or caresses them or holds their hand, if you have a spouse and your love language is physical touch and your spouse won't hold your hand or touch your arm, or when you're sitting watching TV won't hold your hand, this depletes the love tank of the physical touch person. Friends and family who hug and hold hands and touch each other in appreciation or in compassion. The language the receiver needs to have the touch often. Human contact for this love tank, to fill their love tank, is imperative. So if your love language is physical touch and your spouse is a non-touchy, non-physical person, then you have to express to them, my love language is physical touch. We need to hold hands. You need to maybe sit beside me and hold my hand. Or when we go for a walk, show public displays of affection. Just show me that you love me by touching me or holding my hand or rubbing my back or rubbing my feet. If your love language is physical touch, you need to be touched. Do's and don'ts of physical touch. The do's. Lots of hugging, kisses, holding hands, public displays of affection, regular touching, regular affection, regular caressing. Maybe they're in the kitchen making dinner. You just walk up and give them a hug and a kiss. You know, by ignoring them and not giving them any affection and physical touch depletes their love tank. Make intimacy a priority. Make sure that you're present. And if it is sexual for your partner or for you, for the physical touch, then make sure it matters. Make sure there's compassion. Make sure that there's a loving touch in there and it isn't just sex. With the physical touch person, it has to be more than that. It has to be tender. It has to be genuine. Some of the don'ts for personal touch. Physical neglect, holding physical attention, physical touch, even sex, is holding that person's love language hostage. It's in many, many relationships when I've counseled people, it's a way that that person will get back at them. Well, you don't fill my love tank, so I'm not filling your love tank. Holding your partner's love language hostage is a great way to get divorced. Sooner or later, their love tank is going to be so empty that there is no coming back from it. And it is so easy to meet your partner's love language if you just understand the steps to take to meet it. Long period of time without affection. If you travel a lot or you're not home a lot, make sure when you do come home that you present yourself, that you give a hug when you walk in the door. You just don't go and put your clothes away, put your suitcase away, and there's no hugging or kissing or welcoming home. That is a big don't when your partner's love language is physical touch. Or when you question their affection, or you question different things that they're doing, or you accuse them of being with someone else. Where did you learn that? Where did that come from? what's going on? Are you cheating on me because you're all affectionate? All bad things to do with the physical touch love language. Accusations, jealousy, very bad. Or pushing them away when they're trying to be affectionate, when they're trying to show love and be affectionate to you. Pushing them away, a big bullet in the love tank. Just keep that in mind. Let's look at some healthy relationship actions. So when we're having a relationship and we want to have a healthy, open relationship, a relationship when actions for the five love languages. Why are actions so important? I have left in the download a copy of the actions for the love languages. Words of affirmations. What should you do? What are the actions? What are the do's and don'ts? Acts of service. Again, what does an act of service love language look like? What are some actions to do? What are some actions not to do? You might want to post this on your fridge for a little while your family starts getting used to focusing on filling your love tank instead of depleting it. If it's your spouse or your children, put this up on the fridge. And then before they talk or something happens, they just have to go, okay, mom's love language is quality of time. What do I do for my mom's love language? What are actions I can take? What are things I shouldn't do? This is a beautiful little chart, and it is in the downloadable version with this workshop. Give people their love language, not yours. Biggest thing when I tell my clients, read this book, they always come to me the first read and start explaining all the things they do for their spouse from their love language. And then I have to stop them and say, what is their love language? What do you do to meet their love language? What do you do to fill their love tank? Not what is your love language and how do you give it? Think about how your children, your spouse, your parents, your friends, your coworkers, what are their love languages and how do you fill their tanks? You can fill your own love tank if you understand what it is and you respect it and you acknowledge it. And then you're able and open, and the communication and the openness and how people receive you will change so drastically when you're actually paying attention to filling other people's love tanks instead of all worried about if your love tank's getting filled in every direction. When you're out there giving your acts of service or your love language to everybody, in many ways it's a cry that I need my love tank full. But if you just switch it and you start focusing on how to fill other people's love tanks, your love tank will start to fill because maybe people will start paying attention to what you need to fill your love tank. Be well aware of what your partner's love language is, and for heaven's sakes, do not hold it hostage. If you know what their love language is, try everything you can to meet it, or you're not going to stay married, at least not happily married. Be aware of filling the love tank on a regular basis. Be aware when you pull a bullet hole in the love tank. Be aware when you're deflating that love tank so rapidly that you're going to have to do 10 times more things to fill it. If you really do love your spouse, then why would you not want to fill their love tank and make them happy? That in return will fill your love tank and make you happy. This is not an ego struggle. This is not a competition. This is all about unconditional love and having a healthy and happy, loving relationship. Conclusion, I just wanted to mention that in the downloadable PDF, there's a quiz that you could take to find out what your love language is or what your spouse's love language is. Make sure you know what your love language is. It's imperative for your personal growth. If you don't know your love language, then figure it out. Do the exercises, read about it, do some more research. Hopefully this workshop has helped explain what every love language is and what it means to fill your tank and have an empty love tank. Understanding the five love languages will change your life, will change your relationships with everyone, from your children to your friends to your coworkers to your boss. If you understand what the love languages actually mean, you can show and express your appreciation of love with 1/10 of the effort than you've been putting out there already in all of the wrong directions. So I hope you've enjoyed my favorite workshop is the 5 love languages. It is so imperative on your personal growth journey to understand and embrace the love languages and make a conscious choice not to hold someone's love language hostage. Enjoy it and embrace it. I hope you'd enjoyed it. This is Sheila with Hypnotherapy Professional College, and we'll see you in our next workshop.